you've reached Scott. Well, not really. It's actually Scott's voicemail. That's what you got. So please leave a message with your name, number, and brief message if you want. And I will get back to you as soon as possible. So have a good day. Thanks.
To page this person, press 5 now. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Scott's a big goober head, goober head, goober head. Scott's a big goober head. Da 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 da. Because you didn't answer the phone when you called to do the Would You Rather show. Would You Rather game on the TBS, on the Two Blind Squirrels show. You missed it. You missed it. And now Buford is going to spit on a picture of you, or an effigy. Effigy? Is it an effigy?
I don't. Okay.
Effigy. He's building an effigy of you out of fish bait, and he's going to spit on it. Yeah. Don't answer the phone. This is rude. Not as rude as leaving a like nasty
rude
email.
Message.
Yeah, sure. That would have been worse. But he didn't
not
do
an
that.
Email. That's a voice message. Voice you're leaving.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Bye.
Oh, bye. There. I bet that'll show him.
Ah, yeah, it sure might.
Listen, everybody, to the Two Blind Squirrels. Brad and Faith are podcasting around the world. Just sit back now, give it a whirl. Welcome, everybody, to the Two Blind Squirrels.
You gonna talk, or are you just gonna sing along?
Then I'm gonna talk. We're gonna do the 12 Days of Christmas.
All right. Okay,
wow.
So here's...
No. Just save it. Save it.
I don't want to save it. I want you to answer this question.
No, I want you to save it.
This is not the question I was going to ask him.
Oh, this is a different one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Would you rather
mm-hmm.
have a painful pimple on the inside of your nose for a week?
For a week?
Or a bad cold sore for the same length of time?
I'll take the pimple.
You'll take the pimple?
I'll take the pimple.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, those are painful, but I can't deal with cold sore. That's just nasty.
Inside of your nose? Owie, those hurt.
Yeah, no hepatitis for me. Thank you.
No hepatitis for you?
Yeah, okay. Herpes or whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
Uh-oh, I dropped it. Okay. All right, Brad's going with the pimple.
Going with a pimple.
One pimple for you.
One giant
painful in your nose.
In my nose pimple.
Pimple. Ugh. Ow.
At least I'll still be kissable.
Yeah. You won't have any sexually transmitted diseases.
That's not a sexually transmitted disease, the kind of thing you get on your lips.
It can be. Mm. It can be associated with it.
Well, whatever.
I don't know. Myth. Myth in high school says it is.
Myth. It's all myth. All right. So let's have us a Grow Kids Minute.
A Grow Kids Minute? They're never a minute.
A Grow Kids 5 minutes. A Grow Kids Moment.
A segment. A Grow Kids Segment.
Okay. Grow Kids Segment.
What are we talking about today? Principles of Obedience.
Of Obedience. Drum roll, please. Go.
So what is discipline? Hello?
Yeah. Sit, dog, sit. Good dog.
What is discipline?
I just gave you a perfect example. Discipline is...
No, that's obedience.
Oh.
Teacher man.
Go ahead. Give me the example. Go ahead. Give me the definition.
Obedience implies training. It's getting to the heart of the person. In this situation, the child.
Yes.
So that's the biblical thought. And I mean, that's what the Bible talks about discipline. It's mm-hmm. training, mm-hmm. heart training. Mm-hmm. But the cultural idea or definition of of discipline is
spanking,
punishment, or spanking. Yeah, yeah, punishment. But discipline does not mean punishment.
That's not originally applied in that word.
No, uh-uh.
That's why one of the things that we expect out of all parents that are around our child, plus we expect it out of our grandparents, plus we even expect it out of the babysitters, is we expect them to discipline Helen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does that mean? That means not that they punish Helen.
Right. That's our job.
That's our job. But that they instruct her,
mm-hmm.
that they correct her. For instance, perfect example. Helen's over at my brother, we're over at my parents' house, and my brother's there, and my brother and Helen and just play and rough house, and mm-hmm. and Jen, my Helen's
sister-in-law.
Aunt, my sister-in-law, they just rough house and climb all over each other and all this kind of stuff. But I expect Carrie and my brother and my sister-in-law to tell Helen when they've had enough.
Mm-hmm. And not just put up with
it. Or when she's being too rough, or mm-hmm. when she's being too silly. I mean, because I can't judge how silly they want her to be.
Right.
Now, another thing, I can't watch her all the time. So, I mean, if we're over at somebody else's house and she's touching something she shouldn't and I don't notice it, I expect whoever's house it is for them to be able to instruct her,
right.
to discipline
her. We don't touch
that. No, ma'am. And I expect her to obey it.
Right.
Now, if she disobeys, that's mine and face.
Right.
domain. And this is what we pass on to babysitters as well. You have the authority to discipline my child, but we reserve the right to punish. Now, there are certain punishments that we may allow a babysitter or a grandparent to have.
But that's later. That's another lesson.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. Right now, we're just talking about principles of obedience.
Okay.
And obedience, the characteristics of obedience is what? It's to be immediate. It's to be complete without challenge and without complaint. How many times have I said that?
delayed obedience is disobedience.
That's right.
If you're counting to three,
that's delayed obedience.
That's delayed obedience.
Why can't they do at one what they're doing at three?
This is why I hate counting to three. Okay, because it's not three. It's the instruction is given, then the instruction is given again, then the instruction is given again, then the threat of counting is given,
right.
then the counting starts.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. and then by the so it's you're, it's usually it's what's you're
it's
given
10.
The instruction like eight times. And whatever you did on the seventh time to actually get the obedience,
mm-hmm.
do it on the first time.
Yeah.
Mean what you say and say what you mean.
Yep, that's right. We wrongly train to obedience in that we threaten and repeat.
Yes.
We hope for compliance, but we're just not willing to enforce it. We're just hoping that they'll comply. Please don't make me get off this chair. I'm too lazy. And so we threaten and we repeat. Over and over.
If you find yourself threatening and repeating with your children, mean what you say and say what you mean.
That's
be
right.
prepared to discipline
and
the child.
And don't say it if you don't mean it.
Be prepared.
Be careful about what you say.
Yeah. And, you know, be prepared to take action if the mm-hmm. child doesn't come to first-time obedience.
Right.
If you give an instruction and the child doesn't respond with yes, ma'am, yeah, or no, sir, and doesn't immediately do it, then you have to deal with it. Now,
yeah.
a lot of that, we've talked about this before, the five-minute warning.
Mm-hmm.
Give the child, like let's say it's time for bed or time to get a bath. Give the child a five-minute warning. Now, that's giving them time to get adjusted to what they need to do.
5 minutes, we're getting out of the tub.
And that
works like a charm.
Works like a charm. It even works with grown-ups.
Yes. It does. It works very well with
give
husbands.
Your husband a five-minute warning that supper's going to be ready so he can wrap up whatever he's working on the computer or in the garage
just,
or whatever.
It's just common courtesy. I mean, you're invested in whatever you're doing. And then my dad used to come in. And he would walk in the den and turn the TV off. I would be right smack in the middle of a program and he'd turn the TV off. That was so rude.
It's just exasperation.
It would be just exasperated me. I had invested 20 minutes in a show. I had 6 minutes left to, you know, to wrap it up and he turns it off. Time to go. I'm like, and I would get so upset. And then I'd end up getting in trouble but it was his fault. Because he exasperated me, and he just made me crazy.
If you give instruction, and your child disobeys that instruction, they are in sin. If you give instruction, how does it go? I forgot it.
If you give instruction, and your child disobeys, they're in sin. If you give an instruction,
if you allow your child,
if you give an instruction and you allow them to disobey, you're in sin.
Right. What that means
and if you don't follow up and take care of it, you're in sin.
If you allow your child. So, you know, and there's, I mean, there's just examples. And one of the best examples is in Faith's family. The parents never followed up. They would always bail their kid out of trouble. They didn't want their child to be in trouble. And so they would
This is not my parents.
No.
Yeah, okay.
But it's in your family.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, they would threaten and repeat. They would bargain. They would negotiate. They would do anything they could to try to steer this child in the right direction as best they knew how, except hold him accountable for what he did. And he, you know, he ended up in prison.
Yep.
So.
And the next thing that we wrongly train to obedience is by bribing. And bribing is the lust of the flesh. I mean, God, there's all kinds of verses in the Bible. You know, a bribe blinds the discerning. In Exodus, there's all kinds of...
Blinds the discerning. So if you bribe your child, you are blinding them.
And it perverts the words of the righteous.
And perverts the words of the righteous. So...
You know, saying, that's I God will give you this sucker. I will give you this sucker if you will be good in the store. That's a bribe.
If you'll be good in the store, we'll get a piece of candy on the way out.
Mm-hmm. That's a bribe.
That's a bribe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if I'm good in the store, can I have two pieces of candy?
You know, like the kid says, I'll give you the sucker if you're good in the store. Yeah, I don't care. What if I give you two suckers and you'll be good in the store? Oh, okay, yeah, I'm in.
Can I have a toy instead?
No, you don't get anything because they're not doing you a favor. They're supposed to be obedient just because they're supposed to be obedient. They're not doing you a favor by being obedient.
Now you can
it's
give
the right thing to do.
You can give a reward. You can bless and you can give blessings to your child.
But it just can't be told up front.
While they're in obedience. The point of us being in obedience with God is that's where the blessings are.
Mm-hmm.
If we're lined up with God and we're in obedience to God, then that's where all the blessings come to us. That's just like tithing. If you're tithing, then the Lord says, if you tithe, I will bless you.
Right.
Because you're being obedient to me. You're in a place where I can bless your finances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever. It's throughout. That's just one example.
Right.
There's all kinds of them. So that's what you can do with your child. If they're in obedience, then you can bless them. You know, you were good in the store today. So here is a piece of candy, or here is a reward.
But it's not every time.
Not every time.
So then they're not good for the candy.
You're not. You can. What is it? You can. You don't give a reward to get behavior.
Right.
You give a reward because of behavior.
Right.
As a result of behavior.
Right. As a result of
to reinforce that behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And it, you know it. Do you talk about communicating your instructions and, you know, when you speak in a way that requires an answer, well, you know, expect a response. You know, don't, you know, I fall into this. I have to be very careful with this. I just say stuff to the kids and they know when I actually expect an answer and when I don't. They already know. They're 2 years old. They already know.
But you shouldn't.
And I shouldn't do that. And they're wrong to not respond to me, but I'm wrong. And not expecting, you know, I need to speak in a way that I expect a response mm-hmm. and not to just speak for the sake of speaking, you know, or to even not be thinking about what I'm speaking. You know, say what you mean and mean what you say. You know, don't give an instruction unless you intend it to be obeyed. Because if you give instructions all day long and never have any intention of obeying, no, they're not going to obey, just so you know.
Helen has,
they won't.
Helen has friends over all the time. And I will walk into the room and say, okay, it's time to clean up. And if I turn around and walk out of that room, whether it's a 50-50 shot or whether anything gets cleaned up. But if I will wait in that room and I will mm-hmm. say, yes, sir.
I expect a yes, sir.
Everybody acknowledge that I said this and look me in the eye and mm-hmm. say, yes, sir. Then I know 100% of the time mm-hmm. it's going to get cleaned up. Yeah. And if it's not, then you lied to
they
me.
They made the choice. It's their choice. And then it's not a subjective thing. They decided to get trouble.
That I've never had that happen, actually. Mm-mm. I've never had that. And when we had our foster child, Jay, you know, there was his room was in the back and whatever. And there were certain instructions. I would say, okay, Jay, I need you to take this to your room, you know, and put it away and get your, you know, aspirator or whatever and bring it to me. Right?
Uh-huh.
Now, if he just turned around and walked off, there was probably a 30% chance he'd come back. A 25% chance he would come back, or 20% chance he'd come back with whatever, or put whatever away I told him to put away, and another 10% chance he'd actually put that away and brought something back that he was supposed to. But most of the time, he just wouldn't come back. But if I, you know, if I follow this rule, and I said, Jay, I need you to go to the room. I need you to take this to your room, put it away, get your thing, and bring come back here.
And okay, he was two.
He was two. And if I made him look me in the eye and say, yes, sir, or yes, mommy, daddy, which is what he called me, he would then, if I knew right away whether or not this was going to get done, mm-hmm. because he would not look at me.
It worked with him very well. Because he decided right then and there if he felt like doing it.
He decided right then
and
there if he wanted to do it or
today
not.
Today's a good day to die, or I'm going to obey today.
But then I didn't have to guess. And I didn't have to go hunt him down. I mean, he was right there, and I could deal with it.
It was done.
He would not look at me. He would look down. He'd go, okay, whatever. I mean, that's not what he said. But I mean, right. You know, he would go, And I'm like, no, no, Jay, look at me. Look at me. And I would grab his little chin. Look at me. And he wouldn't. Some days, he wouldn't look at me. Like, okay.
Yep.
Let's go have a little time out. Let's go have some fun. Because I couldn't spank him. He was a foster child. But I wanted to. So anyway, moving along. What else? Bribing?
Well, just some,
threading, repeating, bribing. What was the next?
Just some aids in helping obedience and time.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, yes, sir. Or yes, mom. Yes, dad. Because then they're verbally committing to what you said, just like you said about Jay. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Or yes, mommy. Yes, daddy. Make them look at your face. Make them be accountable. You know, especially with little toddlers, that works really well. You know, and I'll take Lauren's face in my hands and just say, look at Miss Faye. Say, yes, ma'am. I mean, she's gotten to the point where she's got it drilled into her head. You know, little Avery even. Yeah, mom. I'm mom. and then, you know, remember timely compliance. The 5-minute warning, giving them a chance to avoid frustration, helping them obey, you know, giving them the opportunity to obey. And here it is. If I ask my child to do something and he disobeys, my child is in sin. If I am characterized by repeating myself in hopes that he will obey, then I'm the one in sin.
Right.
And, you know, it's
because the child becomes a gamble, and the children are natural gamblers.
Right.
You do not have to teach a child
it's
to be negative. You don't have to teach negativity. You don't have to teach sin. Children will gamble. If you characterize by repeating yourself and not requiring an answer, then they're going to gamble. They're going to make a judge. Okay, how stern was the voice?
Yeah.
You know, how angry was she? Did she use my middle name?
Yeah. You know, They know when you mean it. And you know, I just had a conversation today with kids that weren't mine, and I said, I'm going to tell you right now, when you need to be reminded on the way home that you're dealing with me, and I don't allow things to slide, and I am a heck of a lot more stubborn than other people that you deal with in your life. So just remember that when I expect a yes, ma'am, I expect a yes, ma'am. And if I don't get it, there will be consequences. And, you know, I have to remind them because they're, you know, the consistency is not there in other areas. So they, at least here, I will get it.
And
hopefully, most of the time, if they want to obey. You know, you can't make them obey, but
no.
At 10. But you can sure make it. You can sure make it better, you know. Because if you're inconsistent, and you say I need to hear yes, ma'am, and they go I said yeah, whatever.
That's their frustration.
They're content. They're mad at you because they never know what you're gonna do, and that's your inconsistency. It's your fault, not theirs. That's doing that. And I'm not
right. Negating. And who decides when the child gets in trouble or gets a punishment?
The child.
If you are consistent, the child decides. If you're not consistent, you decide.
Right, and that's not any fun.
How much, you know, have I had it today? Have I had it up to here today? If I've had it up to here today, I'm not putting up with it.
Right.
Well, you shouldn't.
That's subjective. That's subjective punishing, and
parenting.
It's not fair to the kids.
It's not fair to the children.
It just breeds contempt.
Children love consistency. It's the parents that hate consistency because I don't feel like getting up and dealing with
it's
this.
It's hard. Parenting is hard. And especially because it's not just, you know, it's not just discipline. It's training. You are consistently teaching your children on a day-to-day basis what to do in every situation. They don't know. They're not born knowing what to do. They don't know how to shake hands with somebody unless you teach them. They don't know how to open the milk unless you teach them. They don't know how to put the cereal away correctly unless you tell them to roll down the thing so it doesn't get stale. They don't know those things unless you tell them how to do them. I mean, just like tying your shoe. So anyway, there you go. I'm off my soapbox.
No problem. Let's move on to the 12 days.
Oh, really? You know what? You want to do this? Are you sure you want to do this for another one?
I didn't play a Christmas song. I got to play a Christmas
song. Oh, yeah. What are you doing?
Because it was the 12 days of the horrible Christmas songs. And so I need to play a horrible Christmas song, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's see what I got here in my little toy box.
Possum stew.
Yeehaw!
We're having redneck Christmas, hope salad and rabbit too.
Yum, yum.
Got Paul new chaw, red man, small brand new spit cook. And I got my wife a new set of retread for my pickup truck.
He bought his wife retreads for his truck.
Never seen that reindeer, but we painted the bulls so
I can't take anymore. Please make it stop.
It's Ray Stevens. It's not even funny, redneck.
Ray Stevens. Didn't he do the one with the squirrel and the...
Yes.
The squirrel. First Baptist Church in the little town of Pascagoula?
Ahab the Arab.
Yeah, okay. I knew. Little town of Pascagoula.
Get your tongue
out of... Was Pascagoula? Something like that.
Get your tongue out of my mouth because I'm kissing you goodbye.
Ew.
Yeah, did that
one. The squirrel went berserk.
First self-righteous church
in that little southern town of Pascagoula. Okay.
12 days of Christmas. Let's have
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay. Well, this is very interesting. Are you ready?
Tell me about it. I don't know anything about it. Don't read it.
I'm not reading it.
Okay. You got a big, like, 6 pages there.
Well, it's just
pages.
Interesting. It's just to help me refer here. Anyway, well, you know the song, the 12 days of Christmas, right? Right?
There's a song?
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. Remember? On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me, okay, a partridge
in a pear tree. And a beer.
And a beer. Okay. On the second day, you know, 2 turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree. Okay. So, I always thought that was just a nonsense song, right? Right? Didn't you?
No.
You thought it meant nothing? Did you always know it meant something?
Well, I didn't know what it meant, but I didn't assume it was a nonsense
song. I thought it was nonsense. I thought it was just a funny song for kids.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just a countdown. And I didn't know that the 12 Days of Christmas had anything to do with anything either. Did you?
No, I didn't know that.
Well, apparently, the 12 Days of Christmas are the day from it's Christmas Day until January 6th, the 12 days after Christmas.
Oh, I thought it was before Christmas.
Until the yeah, that's what it says. But most people think that, but it's not. It's the 12 days after Christmas.
Ah.
And it's the beginning of Epiphany. Which is when the Magi...
I had one of those ones.
The celebration of the Magi, you know, when they arrived to present the gifts.
Oh.
That's the time that the Western Church celebrates.
Magi.
The time.
They're the ones that pull the rabbits out of the hat, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
The Epiphany, that's what that is. Okay. So, anyway, and it's celebrated at sometimes it's like the 25th to the 5th. It just depends on the calendar. Sometimes it falls later in the month. It's interesting. I thought that was very interesting. I had no idea. Apparently in the 16th century, they had come... Well, this doesn't matter. Never mind. When was it? When did I read that? In 10...
Doesn't matter when. What is
it? But it was a long time ago, because it was when it was illegal to preach... Mm-hmm. Have the Bible and to... When was that? It was like a 100...
During the Dark Ages when it was illegal to have the Bible?
Thank you, yes. When was that? Like 1000...
The Bible appeared on the Catholic Book of Illicita, which...
When was that?
They forbid their...
1050 or 1060
or something. It doesn't matter.
It matters to me.
Okay, well, I don't know.
I can't remember, and I knew, and it's bugging me. Okay. So I want to know. So anyway, the point is that apparently the song, they say... Now, there's no proof, okay? They have no proof that this song was written with this meaning, you know, behind it. But then there's no proof that it wasn't either. Okay. So
can't prove a negative.
They try to debunk it by saying all these things, but they have no proof. So, and so anyway, the point is that it's pretty cool. If it did mean this, I mean, that's pretty neat. And even
mean
if it
what?
Didn't, it's neat. So you ready?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
You know what? I listened to you ramble on and on, no, and I never bothered you yesterday about how much you went on and on and on and on and on. You had to get all your words in.
Okay.
So you're going to give me a chance to talk.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Mm-hmm.
Go right ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
Sure. I'm telling.
You kept saying this, and I thought you had already told me. And I was like, you haven't told us yet.
Okay. Well, so on the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me, right, a partridge in a pear tree. Well, so they say that the partridge in a pear tree is Jesus, whose birthday we celebrate on December 25th, blah, blah, blah. In the song, Christ is symbolically presented as a mother partridge that feigns injury to decoy predators from her helpless nestlings, recalling the expression of Christ's sadness over the fate of Jerusalem. How often would I have sheltered you under my wings as a hen does her chicks, but you would not have it so, from Luke 13.
Okay.
Interesting, huh? On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtle doves, the Old and New Testaments, which together bear witness to God's self-revelation in history and the creation of the people and the story, you know. Third day of Christmas is three French hens, which is the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love, 1 Corinthians 13. And then we have four calling birds, which is the four Gospels. The five gold rings, which is the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy.
The law.
The six is six geese a-laying, right? Yeah. Isn't that right? The 6 days of creation. Okay. And the reason that they did this is
geese a-laying, that makes sense.
Yeah. It's
no, it does, because it's birth.
And right. The point of this is to help, it was to help people remember all of the doctrine of the church at a time when they didn't have it freely out there for them. It was a good, what is that, a mnemonic? Isn't that what that's called? Yeah, I think okay. So.
But this is interesting. Keep going.
Okay. Seven swans of swimming, the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, and compassion, taken from Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. Eighth day of Christmas, 8 maids a-milking, the 8 Beatitudes, the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. In Matthew 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
The 9th day of Christmas, 9 ladies dancing, the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Ah. And that fits. Mm-hmm. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness.
What was 7?
Generosity, faithfulness, and self-control.
The 7. What was 7? I thought that was 7. What was 7?
7 swans of swimming, right?
Yeah. What was that one?
That was Holy Spirit.
What? The seven what?
What's the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, and compassion.
And
the
these
fruits
are what?
Of the Spirit.
Oh, gifts
love,
of the Spirit.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control.
That was two separate things.
Yes, okay. 10th day of Christmas. 10 lords a-leaping. The Ten Commandments.
Okay.
That's
a stretch.
Oh.
Okay.
Whatever. 11th day of Christmas, 11 pipers piping, the 11 faithful apostles. Peter, okay. Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew.
Everybody except Judas.
Right. 12th day of Christmas, 12 drummers drumming. The 12 points of the doctrine in the Apostles' Creed. I love the Apostles' Creed. I know you don't get creeds, but I think this is really good. And I don't know
if it's not in the Bible.
It doesn't matter. You want to hear it? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, the grave. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church. That means the Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
The Holy Catholic Church means the Catholic in the universal sense.
Right, the universal church, the Christian church.
Not the Roman
Catholic. The Roman Catholic Church. But I love that because, you know, they learned
the
those
Catholic
things
church
to
is an
believe.
Oxymoron. What, you have the Roman universal church.
Yeah, you can't.
Make any sense.
But I thought that was really neat. I mean, it's a good way for kids to remember, right?
Sure.
You know, I mean, I just thought it was interesting. I'd never heard of it before. And I went online and saw, I mean, and there was like, I Googled it and there was like a bazillion the places that talked about this. And I was amazed at how many, you know, were out there. It was crazy. Anyway, so I thought that was pretty cool.
That is neat. Thanks for sharing that. That was very cool. I enjoyed that. That was very interesting.
You're welcome. Anytime.
I should let you talk more often.
You should.
Talk less, listen more.
That I wrote that to him.
She wrote that in my book last night. Grow Kids class. I scratched it out and said,
Talk less, kiss more. But then you didn't talk less when we got back up.
You actually
talked more.
I made a conscious effort not to talk.
No, you didn't. You talked more. It was so funny.
Can I say yourself. It's my spiritual gift. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. Sorry, it was
a long show.
Merry Christmas.
Squirrels are gooder than pie.
Bye, Oscar Dales.
This show was sponsored by the grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to have your life sponsored by the creator of the universe, then go to a Bible near you and turn to Romans 3:23, where it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But what does this mean? It means that before a holy and perfect God, we are all broken. If you know this to be true, then you must admit that you are a sinner. Sin separates us from God and prevents us from being in His presence. Now, once you've admitted you are a sinner, you must be willing to turn from sin. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." So how do we become right with God? We need a way to be forgiven for our sins, and that way is through the sacrifice and raising up of Jesus Christ. In Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Through prayer, invite Jesus into your life to become your personal Savior. It says in Romans 10:10, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." It also says in Romans 10:13, "For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know these things in your heart, then here's an example of what you might pray. "Dear God, I am a sinner and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed His blood and died for my sin. I'm willing to turn from sin, and I ask Jesus to come into my heart and my life as my personal Savior." Open yourself up to the infinite grace of God, and it will change your life for eternity. This offer is non-refundable. Valid in all states. No further purchase is necessary.